Going forward by faith into 2014. As Christians who believe in the Lord and the Bible, we don't need crystal balls, tarot cards, palm readers, fortune tellers, astrologers, or spiritualist mediums to tell us what lies ahead. For this reason, we believe in a sovereign God, the Almighty, who works all things after the counsel of His will, not our will, His will. You know, one thing we can be certain about, the God who was with us in 2013 will be with us in 2014. I sat down there last Sunday evening watching Brother or Pastor Jonathan Payne giving us a photographic overview from January to December in our church last year. Now, I revel at all that went on because you don't realize it until you actually see it put together in one night. This church has impacted our local community. Now, one fact I did not know, and it shook me, brother, is this: that over 420 young people pass through these buildings every week. That's an amazing statistic. Over 420. Let no one say this church doesn't cater for young people. I don't know any other church that caters more for young people than this church. From tiny babies, 6 weeks old. I was reading Haggai 2 last week in my office. Listen to verses 6 and 7. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, once in a little while I will shake the heavens, the earth, the sea, the dry land. I will shake all nations, and the desire of all nations shall come. I will fill this house with glory, saith the Lord of hosts. He's talking about our day. Church, the Middle East is a powder keg. The Israeli-Palestinian conflict, it's insoluble. The Syrian-Lebanon crisis, the African continent being torn apart by Islamist terrorists. Iraq and Afghanistan have the Sunni and Shia Muslims fighting the peace out all the time. And in our UK, United Kingdom, a growing demand for withdrawal from the economic European Union. Now, according to figures recently released, this shook me. Our contribution to that awful setup, listen to it, is £50 million per day. The sooner we get out of it, the better. Statisticians talk about broken Britain, drug and alcohol abuse reaching epidemic proportions, gambling escalating, even kids being drawn in through the internet, moral and social breakdown, and same-sex marriage, which is a contradiction of terms. Marriage, by definition, is the joining of two genders, male and female, for one purpose, the procreation of children, as God and nature intended. Recently, the Prime Minister, giving a speech, extolled Britain's Christian heritage while he attacked the right of Christians in the workplace to wear a simple cross at work. A simple cross. Haggai got it dead right. The shaking of the nations. And he then followed that by speaking of our Lord's second coming. He called it the desire of all nations. Aren't you glad? We believe, and the Bible teaches, that Jesus is coming back the second time visibly to raise the dead, gather his elect from the four corners of the earth, to reign on David's throne in Jerusalem, and to fill the house with his glory. Believe me, church, A mighty revival is ahead of all our Christian nations before our Lord's return. So I'm not entering the new year fearfully. I'm entering the new year by faith. Jesus said, occupy. Now that word in the Greek means to keep busy. Occupy till I come. I plan on doing just that. So let's rejoice this morning. Let's rejoice. Prophecy is being fulfilled. I was reading Deuteronomy chapter 8. There the prophet Moses amazingly said to Israel, God has blessed you with houses, with work, with land, with peace, with security. Yet he says, you've turned away from God. It's the same with our race. The same race that we live amongst. Now we have a choice, you and I. We can write God into our script, our life script, or we can write God out of our life script. God has blessed us in so many ways. Let's write God into our life script. Now, I thought, what should I share with you this morning? Well, look, let me give you the simple principles I've tried to live my life by. This is the way I live my life down the years. Number one, live one day at a time. The Bible gets it right. Give us this day our daily bread. And again, as thy days are, so shall our strength be. You see, the Bible calls the Christian life a walk, walk in the Spirit. The word walk means to be drawn up in lines, in lines. It's the drill sergeant addressing the troops on parade. It's lining up with one another and with the Holy Spirit. And that's what the prophet is telling us. And Jesus and the Bible keep lining up a unified going forth in the power of the Holy Spirit. A second thing I would say is this. The right way to go forward into the new year is get involved and stay involved. Now, we're commanded in Scripture to separate ourselves from evil in society, not to isolate ourselves. The difference between separation and isolation. For example, my Lord condemned drunkenness and harlotry. And you know, he did many, many times. But the Bible says he sat down with those people and shared his faith with them. The Bible condemns religious hypocrisy. But Jesus went into the Pharisees' homes and shared with them. The Bible rebukes insincere worship. And yet Jesus went along to the synagogue. Many things were wrong in the synagogue, but he went along and he shared his faith and even spoke in the pulpit at times. Hear me, church. Listen to me. My Lord never adopted a holier-than-thou attitude. He was deeply involved in society, never isolated. And you know, one of the problems today is loneliness. Loneliness, so I'm told by psychologists. It shrivels the life, it cramps the mind, it starves the emotions. There are different kinds of loneliness. There are lonely people all around us. I mean, there is self-inflicted loneliness. Some people are so selfish, critical, fault-finding, insufferable, they've actually driven their friends away. The friends don't want to bother with them. There's a temperamental loneliness. Shy people, retiring people who find it difficult to form friendships. There's a loneliness of depression that grips the mind. Elijah felt it as he sat under the juniper tree. The only cure for loneliness is to crawl out of your shell and get involved. Right here in your local church, there is labor for all. You become involved. And that way, you don't isolate yourself. So my advice to you is quite simply, get involved, stay involved. Another thing I've tried to work into my life is this. The right way to go forward is to avoid independence. Independence. You see, the adage says, no man is an island. We need people. We need people. I mean, the first thing our Lord did when he started his public ministry, do what he did? He chose 12 men. Not one, 12. When he sent them out to preach the gospel, he sent them out not in singles, but two by two. The first church prayer meeting recorded had 120 in the upper room. Are you getting the message? God created his local church in order to cancel out independency. He called it his body, his house, his habitation, and identifies us as living stones built into the particular structure. Man was visited one day by his pastor, not one of our churches, another church. I've read it recently. He'd been missing him at church. Ah, he said, "Pastor, I don't need to go to church to be a Christian." "Well, that's true," the pastor said. And he said, "What's more, Pastor, a level with you. Some of the people that go to your church," he said, "I'm a better Christian than they are." "Well," he said, "possibly that's true as well." So the pastor took the tongs, was sitting in front of a blazing fire. He lifted out a piece of red hot coal and he set it down. As the both of them watched, within seconds, it had gone dead and cold. He got the message. "Of course I need the church. Of course I must have fellowship. I can't exist without it. That's what God made me for. Fellowship. Fellowship." Now in this church of God, we are interdependent. Let me spell it out. People need pastors to counsel, to teach, and to preach. Pastors need people to pray and support, and together we pray the one for the other. There are no prima donnas in this church. We work together for the glory of God. So we have chosen this church voluntarily to be instructed in righteousness and of our families reared, as was said this morning at the dedication of the child. That is God's plan. A fourth thing I've tried to do is to develop tolerance. Develop tolerance. Can I tell you something, church? Do you know where the greatest friction in homes and families and churches lie? Do you know the word explains it? Intolerance. Intolerances. You see, tolerance is the ability to accept other people as they are, not as you think they should be. Are you getting it this morning? I know a fellow in Belfast, he travels from church to church, trying to find one where everybody sees it the way he sees it. He's a problem. And God help any church that he joins. Is it not significant that my Lord's vehement denunciations, most vehement denunciations, were reserved not for drunkards, not for harlots, but for proud, rigid religionists? Go read the New Testament. They were choked with traditions, added to the law of God, and criticized Jesus for healing on the Sabbath day. My Lord, help us. God and manifest in flesh could not please those guys. Do you know what Jesus called them? Whited sepulchres. You look beautiful on the outside, but he said inside you're full of dead man's bones. Folks, a lady was discussing something some time ago with one of our ladies in the congregation. She was objecting to some things in our church. So the good lady looked her in the eye and she said, "Well, what do you give to the church?" And she said, "What are you doing in the church?" "Oh," she said, "that's not my ministry." Then said the good sister, and she said it beautifully, "I prefer to do what I'm doing to what you're not doing. I tell your church this morning, at the start of a new year, tolerance. We accept one another, warts and all. We work together and go forward in the service of God. I was 17 when I learned a valuable lesson. 17. You know, when you're 17, you know it all. The time you reach my age of 80, you don't know 1% of a fraction about anything. You've grown up. We had a magazine called The Standard of Truth, edited by a man called Mr. George Graham. He's a graduate of Trinity College, Dublin, a teacher. He taught English in the grammar school. So there was one article that appeared in The Standard of Truth that I wouldn't say I objected to, but I wanted some questions answered. So I went over to talk to Brother Graham at the close of a meeting, and with a lovely little chat, he said, "Son," he said, "why don't you sit down and write me an article for the magazine?" So I did. The most brilliant article anybody ever wrote. It's marvelous. So I thought. But I was dealing with a head teacher at a grammar school who taught English. So I got my beautiful article back full of red marks. And at the bottom of the page, too many generalizations, badly researched facts, poorly presented. Oh boy. Oh boy. Church, I had a choice. The ball was firmly in my court. Quit or start changing things. I did. I took my first step way back then by enrolling in the National Council of Labour Colleges and to study journalism. I learned that day that any dumb clock could be a demolition expert. I mean, a monkey with a leaded match can destroy in 5 minutes what takes 10 men years to build. But I'll tell you something, when you reach the point where you are prepared to go into this life with tolerance in your life, tolerance, 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 accepting people as they are, working with God to help them improve, that's good. You see, not everybody's going to dress like you. And I'd like to go along this thing next Friday night and maybe get a free suit or something like that, you know, and see how to dress. Free bun. Well, at least that's something that's free. Not everybody's going to love like you. They're not. They're not even going to think like you or pray like you. Work with them in the church and outside it and within your family and understand we are all different. Thank God he made us different and we work together for the glory of God. Something else I've learned. The right way to go forward is to stay sweet. Stay sweet. Pastor, that's a touchy subject. Oh, you don't know the people I live with. Oh, no, no. I have traveled the world. I have stood in Bible colleges and lectured to students. Blankenberg, Belgium, Rotterdam, Holland, Adelaide, Australia, other places where I've been invited to the Bible college attached to the church to lecture to students. And I've told them, wherever I've gone, stay sweet. Not well, it's easy for a pastor, is it? You try it. You try it. You will be kicked as well as kissed. You'll be criticized as well as praised. You'll be discouraged as well as encouraged, talked about as well as prayed for. What do you do? Keep sweet, keep the faith, and keep on smiling. Nobody ever kicked a dead dog. Remember that. Poor old Joseph down in Egypt was reunited with that bunch of rascals, of brothers who sold him into slavery. He could have killed a lot, but he didn't. He stayed sweet. Visited a lady a number of years ago in our church here, a lovely lady. Began to chat, and asked, she says, "Pastor, I met a woman, and she's saying what she said about you was awful. Nasty, slanderous things." She told me what she'd said. I said, "Dear, can I tell you something? I can find you better ones than that." She laughed. "But I'm going to write her. I said, no, don't you do that. Oh, no, don't you lift your pen to write. Don't ever go down that road. You think that's how? No, we'll kneel together and we pray for her. If you and I stay sweet, Satan will never ever sour our experience with God. Stay sweet, my brother. Stay sweet, my sister. When you do that, God will honor you." I'm finished almost. The best way to look forward is to look upward. Upward. Now look, hear me carefully, church, this morning. If you look around you, there's a lot of things that are gloomy. It's not easy sometimes to get along in life. If you look around you, things that will depress you. And if you will look at human beings, they're fallible. They say daft things, they do silly things. That's life. That's life. If you're expecting protection or perfection, you are in for some terrible shocks. But if you look at yourself honestly, you will say what Paul wrote. He said, "In me, there dwells no good thing." I mean, that's a powerful statement. He's the prince of the apostles. "In me," he said, "look at me," he said, "there's nothing good dwelling in my flesh." But when you look upward, Paul says, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. My eyes are not on people. My eyes are upward on the Lord, because one day he's coming and I will give account to him at the judgment seat of Christ. Christ. Do you know the beauty and the miracle of it all? He can take your worthless, wasted, withered life and give it meaning, direction, and purpose. But are you willing to change? Those are the simple things I've lived my life by. Live one day at a time. Get involved and stay involved in your church. Avoid independence. Develop tolerance. Stay sweet. And keep looking upward to Jesus. I believe 2014 will be another great year in our church. But it all depends on you and depends on me. I'll leave with you Ecclesiastes 9:11. Listen. The race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong. Keep running the race with patience and keep fighting the good fight of faith. God is with you. God is with us. And by God's grace, we'll never go out on our faith or go back in God. We'll stand firm in the vision because God is with us every step of the way.
Let's stand, church. Faithful one, so unchanging. E flat for the musicians. You know, life changes. People change. Circumstances change. One day you can be living in blessing and the next day in want. But you know what? When we look away to Jesus, never changing. He is our strength, our light, our fortress. Come on, sing unto the Lord. Faith.